All right, welcome back to episode 119, Two Drunk Brothers in the Podcast. If you listen to this, we do a really bad job of doing it, but stop what you're doing before you start. Continue listening. Subscribe. Give us a 5-star review. We need to bump those reviews up. So if you're listening, do that. Boys are here. We're back. All in the lab. We'll kick off with how you guys are doing and what we're drinking tonight.
Whatever Jared's drinking, he can't quite get it on the fucking table over there.
Son of a fucking. No, I have a cup holder.
Gosh, damn. Look at the blind man trying to put it in there.
Fucking goddamn it. I'm doing okay.
FIU scored.
No, Jacksonville State scored. So well, my teaser is not going. We found out that Travis and I are talking like we are great gambling on this shitty ass Tuesday night to Thursday night games. So I'm watching Wednesday night college football right now on both screens, which is the most degenerate lifestyle ever. So it's fun.
These Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday night college games are the best things in the world to bet on.
Yeah, it is because except for when you do teasers. But anyway, I'm doing great. And I don't know what lab Travis was talking about that we were cooking in because we've been cooking in a fucking meth lab. It's just blown up and burning to the ground. So
the meth lab is about
on par for the Washington St. Francis County area, though. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I'm like right smack dab in the middle between the two. So there we go.
Oh, man. All right. Well,
I'm drinking Crown Caramel and Dr. Pepper.
You really scooted around that one.
Yeah.
I still need to go grab that. I have been meaning to grab that all week long, but I am just drinking good old Golden Light Mick Ultra tonight because I am out of liquor and that's what I picked up on my way home. So.
All right. I am drinking same thing as last week. Some Gentleman Jack, and I can't drink it straight because I would be absolutely shit hammered by the end of the podcast.
Just kidding. Just found this sitting underneath my desk up here from last week.
Jim Beam Peachy. So that's what you're taking shots with tonight.
I thought I'd drink it all. I guess not. It's just been sitting up here.
We've got a few things for on the docket for tonight, so we're going to cover some trending topics in sports that I'm going to throw your guys' way. We can do some little Firefest at you with those, so we're not talking about them too much. But then we've got a name that TV show / movie from the characters.
Kind of characters, actors, right? Actors.
Actors, well, yeah. Sorry.
Yes, okay.
We're just going on the trend of games we've been playing lately. Seems like they're a good hit with the fan base. Now we're obviously going to give our picks, which, shit, at this rate, I don't know how many of you want to stick around for those.
For real.
Because maybe not college football for sure. Although both were rough last week, but at least NFL
up
going in. Weren't we up with the NFL going into last week?
Yeah, but we got fucking murked in NFL.
We were down 1.01 units. So last week in college football, we were down 2.36, literally only because of Iowa, which we can get into that in a second. Down 9.66 on the year. We're down 3.9 in the NFL, down 4.9 overall. Thank you, Chargers. So if those two games swing the other way,
having a very
huge weekend.
That's what it is every weekend.
2-2 for the wise men pick of the week for each league.
Nice, about as average as you can get.
Yeah. All right. So I'm gonna throw some rapid fire topics at you guys. First of all, we'll kick it off with the best thing you saw this week because sometimes we forget. Best thing you saw this week.
I'll let somebody else go first.
Sure. I bought a house, maybe, hopefully, potentially.
Okay. Let's pump the brakes there. As your realtor, we got a long ways to go. We got a long way to Memphis.
I know, but I'm saying that we have made the real steps.
We have a contract on the house.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
It's very close.
Yeah.
You know. Inspection. I mean, this week,
obviously, we have not moved into said house yet, but like, you know.
Yeah.
It is.
We'd be cruising.
Unless shit goes crazy. Out of left.
Nah, we'd be good.
That's the best thing I saw this week.
That is. That's very exciting.
Jarrett?
Best thing I saw this week. I'm trying to think. Bills lost the Patriots, even though the Dolphins lost, the Bills lost, which you love to see it, you know, whenever the Dolphins are still in first place because the Bills can't fucking win a football game. And I, spoiler alert, I think they have a tough game against them Thursday night too. So, okay. Yeah. Hey, you said the same shit about the fucking Pats last week. That's all I got to say about that. And I wanted to bet on the Pats.
I know, but they are at home. They are at home, and they're 4-3 right now. So, best thing I saw this week is tough because I don't know. We're turning the best thing I saw, like Ethan said, possibly bought a house. Best thing I saw this week was your two beautiful faces in person. At the same time, this is the first time we've all gotten together since Ethan's moved back to St. Louis.
Yeah. And without me being a dickhead, what did we do? Because I literally can't remember. Oh, fucking Ashley's house. Birthday. You're right.
Yeah.
I was like, I saw you where?
Yes. I thought you were joking for a second. I was like,
no, nope, I literally forgot completely all about it.
Best thing we saw already for next episode is that we're going to the sports book this weekend. So,
yes.
All right. Next up on the docket, let's talk a little bit about the Michigan scandal going on.
Hey, man, don't steal my segment.
So educate me. I'm like in the dark. I saw a few things about it, but I don't know the nitty gritty details. So talk to me like a kindergartner.
Yeah. I mean, I'll tell you what I know, and it may not be 100% accurate, but essentially, there's allegations going around that Michigan and there's, you know, evidence, well, quote unquote, because Travis will touch on this too. But there's evidence going around that they have been stealing signs from other teams prominent teams, I should say. They've had different staffing members going to some of these bigger games last year. They went to like a Tennessee game, a Georgia game, an Ohio State game. I mean, they played Ohio State, and then I want to say Bama as well. They sent people out specifically to go to try to steal signs.
Yeah, get him like 50 yard line tickets so they can catch the signs. I mean, how many teams, and I'm again not a Michigan fan by any means, but how many teams are doing this that you don't know about?
Right. Well, and also, and I was telling Travis this earlier too, like, just real fast, Travis, the whole, isn't that just scouting, in my opinion? Like, you're going to the games to see what the other teams
are doing. It's the same shit that fucking Bill Belichick.
Well, you're not getting their plays in practice.
Right. They're not, like, getting their playbook. They're just watching and looking time for stuff they're doing on the sideline.
Get this shit from game film.
Yeah, except game film is not focused on the sidelines. You're not, like, you don't have a fucking camera pointing to the sidelines for calls. You're literally watching the X's and O's of the game. I don't see it as a total farce. I think it's unethical. I think it's
definitely
shitty.
Unethical.
Right.
But here you go. You notice the team's picking up on your signs. Change them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think you're arguing.
It's a little bit harder to do for football mid-game than it is for like baseball.
Mid-game, yes, but I was telling Ethan, you should be rotating them at in and out regardless. You should not be having the same shit.
Again, you guys come from a baseball playing background, like where it's so easy to change out signs. There's so many complexities to football and play calling that there a lot of them are. It's just a lot of bullshit. Yeah. So I think it's much harder to change.
Here's
them out.
My thing though is. I don't think we're arguing like the ethicalness, if that's a word, of it, because is it unethical? Absolutely. I think I'm arguing more like the legality of it, though, like because everybody's like, oh, they should face allegations, bowl bans, suspensions. But I'm like,
oh, they're going to get
is anything bans. That they're doing illegal? That's my question.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't. No. Well, legalities of it. Like, no, like nothing. Like, you're playing football, and like unless they're going out there and stabbing someone in the neck on the field, like nothing, like they're not committing a crime.
But I'm talking about like policy, though. Like being ethical is not a policy break. That's my thing.
There's got to be.
I also don't think. I don't think. First of all, it's not like they are again doing something illegal. It still takes every bit of talent to, even if you know. What play they might be running. You don't know what route every single wide receiver is running on that play. You still got to cover them. They showed a clip. There's a viral clip going around Twitter where as the Ohio State game last year, CJ Stroud breaks the line. They all look over. get the play from the sideline, and the Michigan sideline is like signaling something to the defense. They literally score a touchdown on that play. So it still involves some sort of talent to stop them.
Now, the only,
again, not saying it's not wrong, but I don't think
I would equate this to the Astros sign stealing scandal, and everyone thinks they're the fucking black sheep of the MLB. So,
I'll counterpoint two things. One, though, is you just mentioned the difference between baseball and football signs. Baseball signs, if you're stealing signs and you know a fastball's coming, that's to me the equivalent of knowing, hey, this quarterback is throwing to this wide receiver at this spot on the field at this time.
Yeah.
Knowing exactly when that's happening. And then the only other thing that point I want to make, though, is there also could be a lot of other shit going on behind the scenes that is much worse than we think it is. I read today that apparently there's like a 600 page manifesto that this Connor Stallions guy had put together. Like, that seems very sketchy. And maybe there's a lot of stuff inside of that that goes above and beyond just attending a football game and seeing what they're doing on the sidelines. So
he was going to take over the Michigan. Like, that was his plan. Like,
take over the program. That's just insane. And they apparently, like, they're not allowed to show Jim Harbaugh. Like, it was like a thing between their little cult of staff that they were like, Jim Harbaugh can never know about this. So we'll see what comes out of it. But I think unethical. Yes. My biggest argument was, if they're not breaking an NCAA rule of policy or like committing a violation, can they truly get?
I'm sure they did some way, shape, or form. Because if you are a member of a football team, you have to be credentialed to go into another stadium to get access to it. You can't just buy a ticket, and especially if you're there to do scouting.
Why can't I voluntarily myself go buy a ticket on the 50-yard line?
You certainly can. But you cannot. I'm sure there is a rule. It says you cannot scout or use any information from that. You can certainly attend the game as a fan, but you cannot go there for work unless you're credentialed.
What's stopping me from doing – okay, I'm just playing devil's advocate here. What stopped me from doing this, going on Twitter, posting every single sign that they have?
Oh, like just like as a fan?
You'd lose – as a fan? Yeah. Then you're just fucking – if you're smart enough to do that as a fan –
that's
then
fair.
you're gonna get hired. You're gonna get a job somewhere. All right. But
stadiums next year.
All right. What I'm saying is, like, Ethan, like, you guys probably know what I'm saying, like, you have to be credentialed. Like, you have to either be in the press box or on the sidelines. Like, you can't just be in the stands hanging out and like fucking jotting notes. First of all, how did no one notice this, dude? He's probably got a fucking notebook, Rolodex. Like, okay.
I also want to say how. This someone else has done this along the line and I've gotten caught.
Bill Belichick started this. I mean, this is right. Stemmed from Bill Belichick. 2000.
I'm telling you, it's probably happened in the past this past year with another.
It's team. Happening in the NFL right now. As
they're
we
just
speak.
Not a blue blood college football team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, college football, NFL, right. High school. It happens all over the place.
So there it is. You and think we're idiots. Go ahead, but we are also just kind of playing both sides here.
Fucking teaser is gonna miss by 2 points.
All right, three more things. One of them, I want to talk about the state of the Los Angeles Chargers.
Well, I mean, I'll say it every week that I'm surprised Brandon Staley's still there and has a job, because while it may not be all on him, his decision making alone has cost them multiple games throughout the last couple of years. And Justin Herbert, absolutely, you know, just as much has cost them several games over the last couple of years with poor decision-making down the stretch. We've kind of noticed that, and maybe it's not every single game, but we've noticed that, you know, you get fourth quarter under 5 minutes left and you need a score. Justin Herbert just seems to not be able to make the plays. And is that play calling? Maybe some, but is it also just under pressure folding? Probably, like... It's just it's a combination of Brandon Staley.
You gotta go off script. I mean, you just got to, because I sent the picture into the group text today. Like, Justin Herbert has the most losses amongst active quarterbacks since 2020. That's not a coincidence. And let's not fucking spin it clearly. And I'm not going to sit here to say that Tua is the best quarterback in the NFL. But if that were Tua's stat, he'd be getting roasted. People would be saying he doesn't belong in the league. Like, that's the shit I'm talking about. And to say he doesn't have dudes, because the big argument is like Joe Burrow has Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, Joe Mixon. Tua has Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, like all these guys. Justin Herbert has dudes. Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, Joshua Palmer, Austin Eckler. Like, he has playmakers around him. To say that he doesn't is fucking ludicrous.
I think the argument that I would make when it comes to Justin Herbert really fast, though, is this. You make the comment about, like, if this were Tua, he'd be getting, like, ragdolled by the media. Absolutely. I would 100% agree with that. I think the big issue is the media and fans and a lot of people, including myself for a long time, thinking that Justin Herbert is a top five quarterback in the league. I think the argument can be that Justin Herbert is a good quarterback because he obviously is a good quarterback in a lot of different ways. Like, he puts up the stats, he can put together good drives, but he's not a top five quarterback in the league by any stretch of the measure. And you can see it in the stats of wins and losses. You can see it in the stats of, you know, his completion percentage, the mistakes that he's thrown under 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter and overtime. And that is where a quarterback is made, is in those moments. So is he a good quarterback? Absolutely. Is he a top five quarterback, borderline top 10 quarterback in the league?
I was going to say, think 10. So. Like, he might be 9 or 10, but that nowhere higher. All right, before we move on, does this team have a shot at the playoffs?
I gotta look at their schedule.
I think their schedule worries me. I haven't looked at it since earlier today.
They have some winnable games, but there's a lot of games that are up.
Well, they're going to – if they don't win the game this week, then they're definitely done for. But so they should win this game this week.
Beyond they're 2-4 at the moment.
Right. So they'd put them at 3-4.
I honestly think they'll be 4-4 going to that Lions game. If they could win that Lions game, I think that's a season turner for them. Yeah. If they can go 3-0 over the next three and be above 500 heading into Lambeau, then that
they should win that game in Lambeau. I mean, at this point, with the way the Packers have looked, they should win that game in Lambeau. They probably lose to the Ravens.
Here's what Vegas thinks about Chargers. They are 1.5 point favorites against the Jets on the road. They're 1.5 point favorites against the Lions at home, and they're 1.5 point favorites against the Packers in Lambeau. So they don't have enough confidence in them to be like, this is a team. If they lose the Bears weekend, to be like Ethan said, that it's over. If they can, if they're 500 going into the Lions game and they can somehow beat the Lions, yes, you have a slimmer of hope. But the AFC's stacked. You got to win the next three, I think.
The thing that changed my opinion a little bit just now that I'm looking at their schedule again, is that through the first, what is it now, six games of the season, they've played the Dolphins, the Chiefs, the Cowboys, the Vikings on the road. And now they get to play teams like the Bears, the Packers, the Patriots, the Broncos, the Raiders, and then the Broncos again down the stretch. So I'm like, those are all very winnable games. So playoffs, I mean, they could sneak into a wild card with that schedule based on what they've already played and who they have left. But we'll see.
Okay. All right. That took way longer than I thought. So we're going to skip my next point. And we're going to go into the last point, because it's something that we actually have to bring up, and we bring it up every year. And that is NFL and college, for that matter, officiating.
God, don't even get me started.
I knew any, you would any officiating, want to talk about this.
Man, just in general.
No, I don't. The NFL was incredibly bad.
There's a Kickstarter for this back-to-back days. The first one that we talked about at the top of the show, Iowa, they returned a punt basically to end the game. They called it back because it was an invalid fair catch signal, which the dude was literally waving his hands down so that his players didn't run near the ball because it was going to be short. Ran it back, called it back, lost us a giant parlay. Brutal. And honestly, really, if you want to look at it, I know that they had one loss and their offenses looked like shit, but that ruined their chances of making the college football playoff.
Yeah.
Again, well, definitely made it harder for them to make it the Big 12, the Big 10 championship game. That's for sure.
Not a whole lot, because their division sucks. But college football playoff, like, if you realistically, if you're a fan and you're looking at it as a whole, they have two losses now. You're not going to make it. Then,
so outside of that,
not in the Big Ten West, definitely not.
Yeah, outside of that, we don't want to spin off into scenarios for the Big Ten. The Colts got fucking jobbed on Sunday, so hard, bad.
Yeah,
I'm a Dolphins fan, and I know the Dolphins game was bad. You know, 10 penalties, 0 is bad, no matter how you slice it. I don't think that ultimately would have changed the outcome of the game. Could have made it a hell of a lot closer, certainly. There were some blatantly missed calls in that game, too. But the Colts got absolutely jobbed. It was bad. The officiating was just, from what I've heard, I didn't watch a ton on Sunday because the Dolphins played Sunday night, but I saw a lot enough to be like, something's got to be done.
Yeah. They basically gifted the Browns a win in that game, like gifted it to them. That ball was literally in the first row. Could not catch it, no matter what. Yeah. I don't even care if you've got fucking Victor Wembanyama down there on a trampoline.
I almost said, if you're Wembanyama, you're not catching that ball.
And then you move into the Sunday night game. Listen, you cannot say that was fairly officiated. Don't care who you are. Don't care if you want to say that game didn't come down to the officiating. But having a team with zero penalties is the first time this year. There's only 17 times in the last 11 years that's happened where a team has had zero penalties in a game.
There's only been two.
There were obvious.
Three times in history. This is the third time in history. First time since 1968, I think, where a team was out penalized 10 had 10 plus penalties, the other team had zero. 1968.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to swallow the whistle and keep your flag in your pocket, you got to do it for both teams. But there were, I mean, they got the karma back on the fourth down call where Cedric Wilson got his face mask grabbed. That's not even the biggest thing of me. The biggest thing for me was there's like four or five pictures out there where the offensive line is just grabbing Dolphins linemen by the fucking necks as they're trying to get past them. Horrendous. And I know certain officials look and have a track record for looking for only certain things, but holding should be just a blatant thing that you can see no matter what.
That's just my thing.
You either call them all or you don't call any.
Well, my thing too is like overall, can a team play a pretty clean game? Absolutely. But when you've got as obvious of penalties as we saw on Sunday night with the face mask and then the one where you guys were running in through the line and the dude literally got like clotheslined and pulled down by his neck, I was like, those, if you miss that as an official, then you shouldn't be on the field. Yeah. Could they have had a perfect game defensively and offensively from a penalty standpoint after that? Sure. They didn't, but could they have? Absolutely. But it's the things that are like, it's so blatant. If you're missing little things, cool, whatever. It is what it is. But if you're missing things that are that obvious, that's the problem.
Big things. Imagine how many little things you're missing.
Right.
So here's my thing here. And here's the solution I've had my head for years. I talked to my father-in-law about it. It makes a ton of sense. Why don't you have people up in the press box watching the game? And they also have replays that they can like watch it back real quickly. Somebody needs to be watching for everything. Somebody's watching the line for holds, the line for offsides, the secondary for pass interference, judging roughing the passer, and then have one guy on the field or a couple guys on the field where you can call it down. Hey, throw a flag. Here's the penalty. Here's who it's on. Whatever.
Because they're expediting all these plays now, like some scoring plays, some reviews. Right. Hell, they're expediting some calls being called down that are just egregiously awful. And they're like, hey, no, that wasn't. They need to expedite some. Either select a certain few calls that you want to do, like either holding, pass interference, something, roughing the passer, expedite it, call it down.
Yep.
Hey, no, that wasn't. Hey, yes, that was. Cool, you're good to go. It takes 10 seconds.
Yeah. Or, you know, my biggest thing that I've always said, and I know it can't be perfect, but if – you're so worried about like penalties and getting things right, then don't be so nitpicky when it comes to football and calling like all the rules, I should say, like all the things that have been added over the last 10 years about you can't hit a guy here, you can't tackle a guy here, you can't do this, you can't do that. The more things you're adding, the harder it is that it's going to be for officials to point that stuff out. So if we're having issues with officials being good at their jobs, essentially, then maybe simplify the game from an officiating standpoint just a little more. Yep. I know you have to have some of those things in there, but we saw I forget which game it was this weekend. There was a roughing the passer call. Maybe it was in that Browns Colts game because he hit him too low. The dude form tackled him at the waist when he still had the ball in his hands and it was roughing the passer. I'm like, how can you call that? I don't know, but
it's just,
it's bad.
It's getting bad. I mean, what it's going to take is going to take a a big playoff game or a Super Bowl to come down to a call like that for the NFL to make a change.
Because you date back to the Saints Rams like right. 5 years ago.
True.
Well, and then they changed.
I never agreed with them taking away the fact that we could review or challenge pass interference. Right. I don't like the fact they took that away. I know it was imperfect the first year they did it, and like they were hesitant to overturn them. But I think that was the first year, and they just took it away. Like
that's what I was gonna say. It was weird.
I think it was weird that they made it pass interference specific. I would like to see something brought back where you get two regular challenge flags for plays, and then you get two challenge flags for penalties. You can use them on whatever the fuck penalty you want to use it on.
Yeah.
Yep.
Throw it out there.
I like that.
Or even just one. I don't know. Like one challenge for penalties, because you would probably want to challenge something egregious like the.
But if you get it back, and if you're right, you get it back, and you get one more.
Right. Yeah.
There you go, Roger. You need to hire the two drunk brothers to your rules committee. Boom. We got to figure it out. There you go.
Yeah, we have it. All right. Let's roll into our game of the week and name that TV show / movie.
All right, taking this out.
We say character. So we're naming three actors in the TV show or movie. We'll say it. We're going to do this. We're going to say it up front if it's a TV show or movie. So that way, folks at home. And then you get the three actors. You name it. You don't have to take a shot. You get it wrong. You take a shot. You get it right. Only if you get it right do you have the chance to spin it back around, guess the year that it debuted, or the person to take a shot on the other side. Jarrett, you're up top with me on this stream, so I'll have you go first.
All right. Mine is a TV show. You guys ready?
Yep.
Bryan Cranston, Dean Norris, and RJ Mitty.
It has to be.
I'm trying to picture Dean Norris in my head, and I can't.
I'm going to say that it's got to be Breaking Bad.
It is Breaking Bad. I thought I'd throw you off there, and you guys might.
I was thinking Malcolm in the Middle, but I knew that you would probably have to go with.
Name another actor. I'm not going to name. I was going to name Bryan Cranston and Frankie Muniz. I'll give it away.
Yeah. I don't know the other two, though. That's the thing.
So Dean Norris played Hank Schrader, his brother-in-law in the show, and RJ Mitty was his son. So,
all right, this must have debuted in. Ethan, do you want to?
We'll take a guess first. Oh fuck! I thought we could do a guess, and you're like wrong. You guess. It has to be either early 2010s or.
I was thinking below 2010.
That's what I was saying. Early 2010s or late 2000s. Like
I'm thinking like 07, 08.
Let's do 07.
All right, 07.
Travis, you're right on your second one, 2008.
You bastard. I was going to guess that. I wanted to wait.
2008.
Oh, well.
All right.
All right.
One of my top five TV shows of all time.
This is a movie. It is Jane Lynch, Elizabeth Banks, and Steve Carell.
A 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Oh, you took it right out of my mouth. Is it not, though?
You're doing shots.
Oh, I was going to guess it, too. So.
But they all were in that movie, though. They all were in the movie, so we should technically not
should get like a half shot for that or get a second guess.
Because Jane Lynch was the boss in 40-Year-Old Virgin, and Elizabeth Banks was the guy where he says, you can put my bike in my trunk.
I might have fucked up here.
Oh,
all right. Well, let's hear who you should have had then, and don't give us the movie yet.
I did fuck up.
All right, well,
I'm not drinking yet. Let's hear what the movie. Well, don't say the movie yet. Give us some actors from the movie you wanted.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm ready.
Steve Carell.
Okay.
Seth Rogen.
Okay.
And Fred Willard.
Is it? I'm gonna get since I guess it doesn't truly matter. I'm gonna go Evan Almighty. I think Seth Rogen was in that. Maybe not.
No, he wasn't. It was not. Fred Willard. He's the guy from Saturday Night Live. Steve Carell, Seth Rogen, and Fred Willard. Dude, I don't know.
Is it an animated movie?
It is Anchorman.
Oh, fuck me.
Oh, Fred Willard's fucking...
Seth Rogen plays a very small part in that movie. He's the cameraman for the news station.
Nice. And Fred Willard's his boss, right? Yeah. Fred Willard's like the TV producer.
Yeah, he's like, bing, bong, bong, you're fired, Ed.
Yeah, do you have to take a shot for that?
So, okay. You do not. Since you guessed the 40-year-old virgin, I wrote down the wrong motherfucking thing. So... You can guess the name or the year 40-year-old virgin debuted, and I will take
40-year-old virgin.
Yep.
All right, Ethan, I'm thinking it's either 05 or 06, maybe even earlier than that. Oh, no. Yeah. It's gotta be because I remember I'm a huge Office guy, and that's the reason why they think The Office blew up, because the Office debuted, I believe, in 04. And then they said the reason why the show blew up is because Steve Carell got 40-year-old virgin, and it was like this huge box office smash. And that like propelled The Office. So I'm thinking it was probably 05.
So don't ask me why I know this, but I'm pretty sure The Office ran 2005 to 2013. So maybe it's 06.
So that would make sense though.
Oh, you mean like, okay. So you're saying it happened before
season two, before season two. No, it means okay. Season one.
Okay.
So it might be 06. Let's go with 06.
We can roll with whatever you want to roll with.
I like yours. 06. Okay.
Should have went with Jared. It was 05.
God damn it. I should have said anything.
Yes. I was like, yeah, you're right, Ethan. You're right, Ethan. All right. Ethan, you're up.
I could have swore. I mean, I'll give mine in a second. I was just going to say, I could have swore that Steve Carell jumped into movies because of his success in The Office, not vice versa. I don't know why I thought
Well, he did. He had The Office first. Season one of The Office happened. And then he got 40-year-old virgin. And they said, used to listen to like the Office Ladies podcast, and they said the reason why his success in 40-year-old virgin propelled them to renew The Office for season two, and that's the reason why it became such a smash success.
Gotcha.
So
okay,
yeah,
well, there you go.
All right.
Here's my first one. My first one.
TV show, movie show. Okay.
Yep. It is a TV show.
Oh, I didn't say that. Sorry.
Yes, you did. You're good.
Yeah, you did.
Is Andrew Lincoln, Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
This is The Walking Dead.
Prison Break. Oh, damn. Okay, cool.
It's Walking Dead.
It is The Walking Dead. Okay, do you know what you're...
Now, this is tough, Travis. I believe this one is... We started watching it in college, but I think it's 2011. I think season one came out in 2011 because we caught it like season three, season four, halfway through when it was like 2014. It's either 10 or 11.
I was going to say 10.
So let's go 10. Let's go 10.
Yes.
It was 2010. Oh,
because I remember. I remember Luke, our good friend of the podcast, Lucas, watching it when we were in high school, and so that was like 2012, and I knew it didn't just come out then. So I like that.
It indeed was 2010.
All right.
There you go. All right, Jarrett. What you got?
My next one is mine. Get progressively harder, by the way.
So do mine.
My next one's a movie, my only movie. It's Adam Sandler, Kate Beckinsale, and Christopher Walken.
Oh man, is this I know this fucking movie. And I don't know many movies.
Adam Sandler, Kate, I don't even know what off the top of my head Kate Beckinsale looks like.
I didn't think
Kate, I don't even know who that is, but I'm like thinking of the movie that Christopher Walken is in.
Adam Sandler and Christopher Walken. What are you thinking, Ethan? And I'll tell you if you're right or wrong.
So I it's one of those weird fucking Adam Sandler movies. It's fucking Click is what I think it is.
Ooh, yes. I like that. Yes, it's Click.
I mean, when you guess the right, I'm going to tell you it is Click. Correct.
Nice.
So well, Kate Beckinsale was his wife. I thought it was Marissa Tomei at first. But it's not. It's Kate Beckinsale. Yeah.
Nice.
Okay, cool. And that would have debuted.
That's got to be like an earlier 2000s movie or maybe mid-2000s.
I was thinking 07 era. Ethan, what do you think?
I was thinking like 06, but we can go 07. Let's go 07.
You should have gone with Ethan's answer. It was 2006. Damn!
Dude, we are so close. We are so close.
Oh, man. I don't. I've seen so many Adam Sandler movies, but again, I'm so bad with movies that like I can't quote them. I can't like always decipher which one's which. Couldn't tell you Big Daddy from fucking Daddy's Home, and they're not even the same actors. But either way, I'm glad I got that one. What do you got for us, Travis?
All right, I've got a TV show for you.
Okay.
It is Penn Badgley, Ed Westwick, and Chase Crawford.
I don't even know who these fucking people are.
If Jared doesn't know who they are, I'm going you.
It is you. Yes, it is. Penn Badgley. Oh, hold up. It could be Gossip Girl.
I'm still going you.
Name, figure out
which one.
Name the last two actors again.
Chase Crawford and
Ed Westwick.
Ed Westwick.
It's Gossip Girl.
Ed Westwick does sound like a Gossip Girl kind of name. I don't know who that is. I really only know Penn Badgley. Kind of know Chase Crawford. Can't really put a face to the name.
Final answer.
No clue who Ed Westwick is. We can go with Gossip Girl if you.
It is Gossip Girl.
Nice.
Yes. Let's go.
The way to save us. When you were done, it would have been Blake Lively, and you would have easily gotten that after.
So. Yes.
Yeah. All right. What year?
I think this way before 90s? Your guys' time. No, not the 90s.
Not 90s?
I think I'm going to go with 2004.
Okay. I don't know, so we can ride with it.
All right, this is one that you weren't very close on. It was 07.
I would have been way off then. I thought that show came out a long time ago, but
it's not.
I think Blake Lively's not that old.
No, yeah. No. But I also never really watched the show. So maybe she would have been super young.
Gossip Girl. No, she's still just as hot as she is now. All right.
Ethan. The next one is my last two are movies. So my next one is a movie. It is Ryan Gosling, Denzel Washington, Hayden Panettiere.
Oh, this is Friday. This is Remember the Titans.
There you go.
It is Remember the Titans.
Yeah.
I feel like my
year this one's going to be tough.
We say like...
Is it? Because we said it last week.
Oh, fuck.
It's early 2000s. It's 2000. It's 2000.
It is 2000. You guys are making me drink just on the years.
I was going to say 98 because I know Hayden Panettiere is like our age and she was a little girl.
Yeah.
God. I knew mine were going to be too easy, but last week I was too hard. So I was like, I got to go with like things I know they know, but oh well.
Hell yeah. Cheers. Gin. Well, you guys have also guessed both of mine. I'm surprised you guys got Click. I thought the Kate Beckinsale won't throw you guys off. Last one. A little bit tougher. Yep. Zach Gilford, Amy Teagarden, and Jesse Plemons.
I don't know who any of those people are.
You said it's a TV show?
TV show, yep.
Zach Gilford.
Gilford?
Amy Teagarden and Jesse Plemons.
Oh, it's Friday Night Lights.
It is Friday Night Lights TV show.
Nice.
Amy Teagarden is Coach's daughter, Julie.
Yep.
Jesse Plemons, he's the redheaded kid, right?
Yep.
And then Zach Gilford had
the biggest acting career out of all of them.
Zach Gilford would be. That's not Matt Saracen, is it?
It is Matt Saracen.
Dang. Year.
After Remember the Titans by a while, I feel like it's like 2008. Maybe it's earlier than that, though.
I'm going to go with whatever you want. I got it right. You go.
You did. I mean, you're putting a lot of faith in a guy who's not good with TV shows or movies.
I was going to say 05, but I think that's way too early.
Maybe 06 then, split the gap by a little bit.
He already did one that was 06.
True.
Would you know. I'll let you pick. You pick. Go.
Let's do. You know what? I'm fucking throw a hole in the wall. Let's do 04.
It is 2006.
Oh my god.
We guessed like 4 years. We weren't gonna land on that one. All right. Going my last one. It's a movie. You ready?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Miles Teller, Sarah Wright, and Skylar Astin.
This is I know this movie. It's also got Michael B. Jordan in it. Fuck, what's the name of the movie? God damn it. Oh my god.
I'm just trying to think of Miles Teller movies right now.
They all break up with their girlfriends at the same time, and then am I thinking of the right movie? No, I'm not thinking of the right movie.
I don't fucking know.
Movie I'm thinking of has got Zac Efron in it. Skylar Astin and Miles Teller together. Oh, fuck.
I'm not even going to guess because I don't know. I mean, literally, it's not going to be
know.
It.
I don't like, know. Yeah.
Top Gun.
No.
Shots in. Jared, I'll give you another hint, but you're still going to take a shot. Jeff Chang.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I know the fucking movie. It's where they, I don't know the name of it. I've only seen it like twice, but it's a hilarious ass movie. Jeff Chang.
If you've never seen this movie, Ethan, you got to see it. It is 21 and over.
21 and over. It's hilarious.
Yeah, I've never seen that.
Oh, it's so fucking funny.
Fantastic.
Me and Ashley watched it the other day. It's hilarious.
Fantastic Four. That's Michael Jordan, too.
Yes, it is.
All right.
That's why when you said that, I was like,
there's something in my shot glass.
Do you want to guess what year that might have came out? Just for nothing but just a guess.
I could try to say if I was in college or high school.
I'm gonna guess too, even though I don't even know the movie, but I'll let Jared go first.
I think it's 2010.
Ethan?
2008.
13. Mm. Wow. I was in college. I answered that question.
Mm. Yeah.
All right. You guys ready for my last one?
Yep. For me to go shotless.
It is Seth Rogen, James Franco, but wait for it, Zac Efron.
Seth Rogen.
Is this the end?
No. Seth Rogen, James Franco, and Zac Efron.
I mean, we know those first two have been in 87 movies together, but.
Seth Rogen, James Ray. This is that college movie, Jared, the frat house movie.
James Franco's in it. That's no. Dave Franco.
No.
It's Dave Franco, not James Franco.
Wait, did you say the first one was Seth Rogen? James Franco.
Are you sure you didn't get the wrong Franco brother, Ethan?
You know, I'm gonna give it to you because I did get the wrong Franco brother. It is Dave Franco.
What's the name of the movie?
It's Neighbors.
It is Neighbors. Yes.
There you go.
I don't know how I fucked up the wrong Franco because I literally looked up the movie. But you know what? It happens.
2015.
Which one's your final answer?
It could be 14. 15. Let's go
15.
15. Should have taken Jared's. Gut feeling there. It was 2014,
but he initially said 12. So
yeah,
fair.
When you said final answer, I knew it was one of them. So I was going to take the 15 because I knew it wasn't 12.
God, I'm dumb then. Is the movies that Seth Rogen's always in is Dave Franco then, or is he in a lot of movies with James Franco?
James Franco. Okay.
Just fucking shot in the dark. Just happened to be the other brother.
Yeah.
Cool. He's doing that movie, but he's in a movie with James Franco.
Well, yeah, I'm pretty sure that's Pineapple Express. Yeah,
the Pineapple Express, the interview,
and the interview.
This is the end.
Neighbors movie.
That's crazy.
Well, I pulled her in a shot because I fully expected me that I was going to drink one, but I'm so damn good. So
we got to do this game again and make a. We all like the only one person that got us was Travis.
It's really tough to make it.
Well, I'm going to have to start. Mine apparently were too easy. You got all three of mine.
But. It's hard to make it to where everyone's not doing six shots.
I'm going to go out and say the games we played the last 2 weeks are better than Guess the Lyric. I'm going to go ahead and say that off the top of the dome.
Well, that's for those of you who know movies very well. I guess Click, and that was like shot in the dark, fucking just knew the Adam Sandler movie with Christopher Walken. But
Fair Either enough. Way. But you also, you, yeah.
We all it's contributed.
Been, yeah.
Good, good game. 45-0, like two-ish. I got it.
I should have fucking given you Robert Downey Jr., Chris Evans, Chris Hemsworth, and just made you guess which fucking Marvel movie it was.
Yeah.
That was like eight of them.
So wrong.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to pee and grab another beer.
Yeah, I got to make another drink too.
All right. Let's roll in to our college picks and approach the slate a little bit differently this week. I know we did the same last week, but for my personal picks, I have a little bit of different action going on this week. Does anyone have anything? Let's kick it off with like a love this pick. Favorite pick of the week for college.
College?
College was tough for me this week. I actually don't even have a pick until 2:30 on Saturday, but
I don't really love anything.
Right.
If I had to pick my favorite one, I'm probably going to go with Oklahoma -9 at Kansas.
I have it at 10, but yes,
I have that on my card. They were my money line pick because Travis asked us to come with a money line pick, but
a big money line pick, but yeah.
Yeah, so Oklahoma between 200 and 500. Oklahoma -9.5. We'll take it at that.
Yeah, they're 6-1 against the spread. KU's 3-4. You look at common opponents; they both played Texas. KU got blown out by Texas. Oklahoma beat them, obviously, and I think they beat him. Even though they beat him 34-30, is more convincing than that. I just don't see a way after Oklahoma had a close call against UCF last week, damn near lost. If they want to get into the college football playoff, they have to come out with a fire under their ass and blow the doors off here. So, I just don't see a way where they don't win this game by double digits.
That's kind of what I thought. They had a letdown spot last week, almost folded at home. I can't imagine they're going to play around this week. They're going to come out with purpose. Like Jared said, they are 6-1 against the spread. They lost their unbeaten ATS record last week. They rank 6th in the country in passing yards per game. Kansas struggles a little bit to stop the pass. They're 96th in the country. The killer point for me is when you look at third downs. Teams not being able to get off the field on third down are killer. OU converts 50% of third downs, which is 11th in the country. Kansas lets up 48%, 11th worst in the country. They're going to roll them.
I love it. All right. So is that's a two-uniter for sure then?
Two-unit for sure. The only other point that I was going to add to that, not from a analytical or statistical measure, is just that Kansas is giving me the same vibes they gave us last year, right? They started what I think it was 6-0 last year, and they finished 6-7 or 5-0 and finished 6-7 regardless. Kind of the same thing happened in this year, right? They had a very strong start. Everybody was like, oh my God, look at Kansas. They're turning their program around. Then they go in and they lose to Texas. Granted, very good football team. But since then, just have not looked like the same football team. And now you've got Oklahoma coming into their house. That going into Kansas shouldn't scare anybody ever because they average about, 600 fans a game. So my thing is that Oklahoma is a must win to continue to keep our college football playoff hopes alive. Kansas doesn't really have a whole lot to play for right now, but a bowl game that I still think that they'll probably get to regardless. Oklahoma should steamroll this team.
Yep.
I agree. All right, there we go. That was one of my first picks. I have another one at 11 a.m. It's Tulsa at SMU. SMU is 21-point favorites. This is the definition of like a deep, fine stinker of a game that you probably won't want to watch. We're not looking at the 21 points. We're looking at the total here. These teams are both 2-5 on overs on the year. Total of 4-10 together, all right? And still, only 3 of their combined 14 games would have hit this total that they put out for this game. They both have a rather run-heavy offense. So we all know that results in some clock being run for longer possessions. I think that this is a big spread. SMU's going to get up big, run the clock out. I like the under of 57 in this game.
What does their over-unders look like historically between those two teams? I mean, not this year. Like, what do they look like? Like their records, so they're under records.
Well, I told you that they're what they were. I can't imagine that too many of their games were much higher than 57. I didn't look at what their other games were because you got to look kind of look at the matchups a little bit, but yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I don't hate it. It was Tulsa and
SMU.
SMU under 57.
Yeah.
57 is just a borderline high total anyways. It in is college. High. Like, granted, college totals are typically higher than the NFL in general, but 57, anything that hovers around 60 kind of gets that push into, unless you're a team like Oregon, for example, that's just putting up points at a premium. Those totals scare me a little bit. So I don't hate that under at all without even knowing those two teams, just knowing that that total's a little high.
Yeah. I agree.
All right.
Ethan? All right.
Yeah.
I have like I said, I don't have anything until 2:30. So I'll just go with my first of three 2:30 games. It is the Duke at Louisville game. This is going to be one of the better games of the weekend, just based on the slate in general this week. There's not a ton of fantastic games out there. A lot of teams are on a bye. But I have Louisville -4 in this game at home, and I'll give you my reasons why. Both of these teams are ranked top 30 when it comes to their defenses, total defense. Louisville is at home. They have the better offense. Duke's offense, just in general, does not necessarily get the ball moving down the field. Duke's wins also didn't impress me a whole lot. Duke has beaten UConn, Northwestern, Lafayette, a struggling Clemson team, and NC State, who we thought was going to have a better team coming in but had a transfer quarterback, really hasn't panned out the way that we thought. Louisville also has the common opponent win in beating Notre Dame, while Duke has lost to Notre Dame. I'm not saying Duke is a fraud by any means, but going on the road against what I think is a very good Louisville team, 6-1, trying to keep, again, we just talked about another team in Oklahoma, trying to keep their college football playoff hopes alive, is a must-win game here. I think at home they get it done, and I think they cover the 4-point spread.
I don't hate it. My model kind of reads that 60% of the bets are on Duke, while 66% of the money's on Louisville. Louisville is 3-0 at home against the spread. Duke is 1-2 as an underdog against the spread, one of their dogs. And you look at their defense, like Louisville's 5th in the country in red zone defense. And Duke is 90th in the country in red zone offense. So to me, those are two big discrepancies. Like if you can stop a team, like you can give up all the yards you fucking want. Once you get inside that 20-yard line, you can stop that team from getting the end zone. That's massive to me. So I don't hate this pick at all. I do think Louisville's a better team at home. Coming off a loss to Boston, a loss to Pitt.
Right.
I was going to say, they were a fucking god-awful Pitt team, and they didn't even just lose. They got blown out of the water, so that's what scares me here.
It does scare me a little bit. It's a bounce back spot. Meanwhile, like kind of like Ethan said though, like Duke hasn't really. Clemson is an impressive win. Like I know you said they're trending in the wrong direction. Clemson team, that's a good win for them, but their other wins aren't impressive. UConn, Northwestern, North Carolina State.
I will say, every time we bet on Louisville, they lose. What I say, the last time we bet on them was against Pitt, and they lost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've bet on them three times this year and lost every single. That's fair. Time.
So if you're listening out there, Duke +4.
We bet on the first 2 weeks. They lost, or it was the first two or two times.
It was like the first two out of three. Yeah.
Yep. And then they won the next four handily. Then we bet on them against Pitt and they lose.
So what is, it's only -4. What is the money line and potential of throwing them in like a teaser or something like that, or just like a money line parlay that we're not necessarily like heavy favorites, but maybe we throw them with one other team.
If you're going to bet on them. I don't trust them in money line. I don't trust them in teaser. But either way, how many more picks do you have, Jarrett?
College wise? I have 1, 2, 3.
All right, let's hear it.
Got a Thursday night game for you guys. It is Syracuse at Virginia Tech. I like the Hokies at -3. There's a reason why this line doesn't make any fucking sense at all. Obviously, Virginia Tech's 3-4 in the year. Syracuse is 4-3. But Syracuse is playing some dog shit football recently. They've lost 3 in a row. And in those 3 losses, they scored a combined 24 points in all 3 games. They scored 3 against Florida State, 7 against North Carolina, and 14 against Clemson. Tough competition, to be fair. Virginia Tech, on the other hand, is 2-1 in their last 3. They beat Pitt. Obviously, Pitt's a bad team. They beat Wake Forest by 17 points. It's a home game for them. Money movement, 55% of the bets are on Syracuse, while 75% of the money is on Virginia Tech. I just think that this is just like screaming like a very square game. People are going to see that. People are going to look at the records, look at Syracuse, and be like, +3, let me take it. I like Virginia Tech -3 on Thursday night at home.
So, again, I'm not going to go from a statistical approach with my like comments on this game because I don't hate this. And the reason that I don't hate this is a Thursday night at Virginia Tech is a wild atmosphere. That place is already semi-difficult to play in general. I'm pretty sure they're the motherfuckers who is it Inner Sandman that they walk out to or whatever and play.
Yep.
But give me a Thursday night game in an ACC matchup against a pretty even, I would say, opponent. That's a tough atmosphere to play in if you're going on the road in the middle of the week. So that makes me like it a little bit more for that reason, with it being such a close spread.
I like looked for a slant in this game every fucking which way possible, and I could not find what one I wanted to take. Because I saw one on both sides. I saw one in Virginia Tech has had this backup quarterback come in and dominate. But also on the same side that they're thinking about starting Grant Wells because he's 75% healthy. And then I look on the other side and Syracuse has only scored 24 points in the last 3 weeks. And then Virginia Tech lets up 9 million points a game. I don't hate it. I'm glad you picked a side, but I couldn't pick a side.
Yeah.
Q's is also 0-3 against the spread as an underdog this year. So.
All right. Well, there you go.
I would not hate throwing a unit on that if we come back to the end of it and need one.
Okay. Well, I have 3 funky picks coming up.
Okay.
And they're all team totals. Every single one.
Oh, God.
All right. First one I have is Indiana at Penn State. Indiana is -32 Saturday at 11 o'clock.
Indiana's -32?
Or sorry, Penn State is -32. I don't know. I was reading. Okay. I'm going to let you guys give me for these next 3. Whose line is it anyways? And I'm going to let you guess me what you think Indiana's team total might be for this game.
I'm going to guess you. I'm going to guess you right now. And it's 7.5.
I was going to say 10.5.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, it is 6.5. They have to score 1 touchdown to hit this team total. And I will tell you right now that Penn State has only has blanked 2 people. That is Iowa and UMass. 2 terrible offenses. Other than that, they've left this up to everyone. And Indiana has scored over that, obviously. I would hope so. In every single one of their games, except for the Ohio State game, which was the first game of the year.
So I take it that you're taking Indiana team total over 6.5.
I am taking Indiana team total over 6.5. Listen, all we need is a little trickery like they did against Michigan. If they can score 7 points against Michigan, they can score 7 points.
At Penn State? Not that it really matters, but I'm just curious.
Penn State?
You ride Indiana's team total over until it dies, right?
Against these tough teams, I guess so. I mean, they let up 13 points to Northwestern, 13 points to Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
6.5. It's literally a touchdown.
It's low. Yeah, it's
and
low.
Illinois' offense is one of the worst in the country. Like, statistically, it may not be, but I've watched them almost every week. They are one of the worst offenses in the country.
There you go.
All right.
So I don't hate
Pencil her in. Pencil her in.
All right. This slate was weird this week, but so far the picks that we've given out, I don't really hate any of them. I just had a tough time convincing myself to go with more than what I have here. But my next pick is also at 2:30 on Saturday. It is a battle of some mid-tier Ohio teams. It is Miami of Ohio at Ohio. I'm not picking a spread in this game. I am actually going to take the under of 38.5, and let me tell you why. Both teams are top 30 in total defense, with Ohio being ranked fourth right now in total defense. And they are below 80th, both teams, in total offense. Both of their run defenses are okay, but their rushing offenses are horrible. Miami of Ohio has been shown that they can throw the ball pretty well so far this season, but that's Ohio's defensive strength on the other side of the ball. I think that this is going to be a very slow-paced, try to ground pound. You're not going to be able to. Miami's going to try to throw the ball in the air. They're not going to be able to. We've seen Ohio this year with their unders just smack on certain occasions. I could see that this game not even reach 20 points. So the 38.5 did not scare me. I love the 38.5 here for these two Ohio teams.
If you liked this, and the fact that you didn't mention this at all leads me to believe that you didn't know this, because I immediately
probably
went to
not. For this under. Whatever you were going to say.
I didn't like it. I didn't love it because it was so high. But you will love the under even more because Brett Gabbert is out for the year.
Well, there you go. Blaine Gabbert's brother, just gonzo.
He went out last week in, I believe it was either the early third or right at the half, and they could not move the ball the rest of the game against Toledo.
Like, even if Ohio can move the ball somewhat, if Miami cannot move the ball, this could be like a 20-7 game, and it still smacks the under.
Yeah. I like this. I mean, Ohio unders have been great. I know why we don't put them in our card every single week. I'm pretty sure they're close to undefeated on the year. So I like this pick. I think we should definitely put it in. So
37.5.
Yeah. And it's 38.5. It's low, okay. But it's, I had a hard time passing it up when I saw it. It may not be more than a uniter, but I think it's a solid hit.
All right. Jarrett.
Yep. So my next one's going to be Saturday. It's going to be Saturday at 6:30. It's Colorado at UCLA. I like UCLA -17. Colorado's terrible. We all know it. I mean, look at their game. Everyone's bet on Colorado. The public bet percentage on Colorado is insane because they're looking at that 17 number and they're like, give me Colorado. But you look at it, I mean, they lost to Stanford. They beat Arizona State by 3. Obviously lost USC. Got blown out by Oregon. You know, UCLA, just looking at common opponents, mollywop Stanford on the road, 42-7. I just don't see a world where Colorado even comes close to UCLA on the field here.
The only thing that scares me about this pick is that Colorado's offense can potentially turn it on at any point in time. And UCLA is not Oregon.
I'm very much worried about a backdoor because know they're not pulling players.
Yeah, so I don't hate it because I agree. Like, Colorado's not – they've proven that they are not the team that these people thought they were the first 3-4 weeks. But because the spread is so large and that it's right around that, like, backdoor cover area – is the only reason that it scared me a little bit. So I like your thought process here. I worry about that.
Yeah.
Because their offense is so potentially good.
The back door definitely is there.
I agree.
Now in a teaser somewhere, if we have a couple games, maybe we want to throw in that. It's not a bad play.
Okay. My next pick. It's another team total. I told you the rest of them were. It's Air Force -12.5 at Colorado State. Saturday at 6 p.m. All right. We're going. I want you to tell me that. Oh, so the over-under is 48. I want you to give me whose line is it anyway? Team total of Colorado State.
Is it 20.5?
I'm going.
No. 17.5.
I'm guessing the spread is like
Jarrett nailed
10
it.
And a half.
17 and a half.
Spread was 12 and a half. So it is 17 and a half. Colorado
straight up missed that. My bad.
Air Force on average, they're one of the better teams in the country at points allowed. But when you look at the competition they've played and, you know, kind of the style of game they play, they still allow 15 points per game. But they have not really faced like a team of Colorado State's air raid stature. They average 336 yards per game. So their really good defense is going to be tested. They're in Colorado State. Colorado State has scored more than this in every single game this season. At home, they have an amazing kicker in altitude. I feel like that adds a little bit of value here. 17 and a half. I don't think they're going to get absolutely blown out of the water. I like this team total.
I actually don't hate it either, because you're coming off of a tough battle with a military opponent last week in Navy. And now you're going on the road into altitude. You're probably not going to be at your like peak status when it comes to your defense. So you said it was 17 and a half.
Yeah.
Yeah. So well,
again, you don't have to take all of them. Yeah. Giving you three right here. So.
Yep. The half scares me a little bit, but
I trust Colorado State more than I trust Indiana. Put it that way.
I don't know if I do though. Like it's a tough Indiana opponent. To score a touchdown.
My only problem is, Indiana only has to score one touchdown in that game. It could be a blowout. They could score one late. They could score one early. Colorado State going up against a team who runs the ball so heavily, they could only get the ball 6-7 times.
And the half.
That's one of my only problems.
If you can get it at 17, because they could push, like just the potential there, like
it's a little bit better. Can't buy hooks on team totals.
Yeah, right.
But that's if the line moves somehow. That was my thing. But
either way, I'll tell you that Utah State, San Diego, or Utah State, San Jose State, and Wyoming all scored more than this against Air Force.
So, yeah, and this could be a game that Air Force just puts up a lot of points, but then also gives up a lot of points too. Like, and by a lot, I mean 20 to 24. So
exactly. So there you go. All right, let's go into our last picks.
I have two more, but sure.
I forgot that you were next.
I'll give you, me and Travis were talking about this game earlier. We also have talked about this game for the last 3 weeks. He doesn't love it anymore. I'm not saying I love it. It definitely does scare me. I'm still going to throw it out there because I said I was for the last 2 weeks. It is the UTSA game against Eastern Carolina. I'll give you my reasoning why I like it. We do not have to include it because the line was a whole lot more than I expected it to be. But UTSA is minus 18 and a half at home against ECU. ECU is over everything against the spread except for their win against FCS Gardner-Webb, in which they won 44-0. That game is an outlier to me. UTSA has really turned their season around their last three games. They've won every single game. They've covered every single game. We've seen how bad ECU is. We've also seen how much of a turnaround UTSA has had. So the minus 18 and a half definitely scares me. I still think that they can cover this game, but with the other games that we have, we definitely don't need to include it.
Yeah, it's tough. I was like, oh, if this is 10 to 11, love it. 18 and a half for this UTSA team. It doesn't have as good a defense as they used to.
I'm going to go ahead and say we can tough. Toss it out. That we have too many other close ones.
It's tough. I do like it though, Ethan. I get what you're coming from because ECU is so fucking bad.
Yeah, yeah.
I think he's frozen.
Okay. He definitely is frozen.
All right. Go ahead and your next one.
All right, my next one, man. Last one is Saturday night. It's a late contest, 9:30, West Coast game. UNLV at Fresno State.
It's tough.
Spreads, it's tough. I'm taking UNLV plus 7.5. Our guy Barry O, head coach at UNLV. UNLV 6-1 against the spread. Fresno's 3-4. And everyone and their brother is kind of betting on Fresno. And if you look at the quality of opponents, Fresno has, first of all, has failed to cover a spread in the last three games. They've been favored in the last three games. have failed to cover 25.5. Okay, that's so 25.5 against Nevada. That's pretty big. 5.5 and 5.5 against Wyoming and Utah State. They lost to Wyoming outright, and then failed to cover against Utah State. You know, you look at UNLV. They just failed recently to cover against Colorado State, a tough team, like you just said. But other than that, they have beaten every single team by double digits, except for Vanderbilt, which they were dogs as Vanderbilt covered and won outright. So, I mean, it's just hard for me not to pick this team when they're 3-0 as an underdog against a spread. 6-1 overall. Fresno's 3-4 against a spread, 2-4 as a favorite. I mean, UNLV's red zone efficiency on offense is insane. They're third in the country in red zone efficiency. Fresno's 72nd on defensive side of the ball. So they're also 6th and 3rd downs. I just think this team's
their offense does not scare me at all. They know how to put up points. What scares me is their defense a little bit, because Fresno State does have such a high powered offense with regardless whatever quarterback plays, whether it's Mikey Keene or their backup. So if they're able to just minimize some of the pain, you know, like bend but don't break type action, I do like it. The only thing that swayed me, because I really was looking at this for a long time, the only thing that swayed me was their defense. But you are getting a little buffer.
It's a touchdown.
I was going to say, you're getting a little bit of buffer with the half. If it was 6.5, I'd absolutely stay away. So with that being said, I do like that. Some of the other picks. All right. My last pick of the week. Ethan's still not back. He's having computer issues. He'll join when he can, but we're going to keep the show rolling. It's a Saturday at 2:30 game, so I'm backtracking. It's Georgia at Florida. Georgia is -14.5. This game is neutral site. It's always played in Jacksonville. Kind of stupid for some reason, but it is. Georgia -14.5. I'll let you guess what Florida's team total is.
-16.5.
Damn, you're spot on. It's 15.5. Yeah, you're spot on. Georgia, they're still not the team that's like blowing me out of the water what they've been able to accomplish. All right.
No.
This is neutral site game. This is a huge rivalry in the middle of the season. Not too many people do neutral site games. They did let up 13 to Kentucky at home. Who Kentucky we see has not been that great of a team here the last few weeks, last couple weeks. They let up 20 at Vanderbilt. They let up 20 at Auburn, 21 to UAB, 14 to South Carolina. This Florida Gators team in a neutral site, huge rivalry game, should not have a problem putting up 16 points.
Yeah, of all the team totals that you've given out, I'm inclined to say Colorado State is now my least favorite. So
okay, State's your least favorite. That's fair. Ethan, Jared gave out UNLV +7.5. Okay. I gave out Florida team total over 15.5. They play neutral site against Georgia this week, and Georgia has given up this number and more against much less offensive competition.
I don't hate either of those picks. I literally do not know what happened on my computer just now. I know those of you who are listening have no idea what I'm talking about, but I just froze and then disappeared, and then my computer decided to shut down, and now I restart it. So I'm trying to get back in the zone. But either way, don't hate either of those picks. If I had to lean which one I liked better, I was also looking at the Georgia-Florida game, and I liked Florida to cover. So I feel like the team total over is also a pretty decent bet. It was not one of my picks in terms of them covering, but I just liked that pick. Don't hate either though. I did have one more pick. I don't know what you guys are talking about, but as soon as my shit reloads, I can go into it. I'm pretty sure I know what it was. There it is. It is the USC at Cal game. It's 3:00 on Saturday. This is a get-right game for USC because they have been abysmal the last 2 weeks. Granted, they've played some tougher competition. Cal is not one of those tougher competitions, and I feel like this 10.5 line is because of their performance the last 2 weeks. So I had USC -10.5 here. Cal is 0-5 against the spread in their last five games. I will caveat that with so is USC. But Cal's competition has been not as tough as USC's competition. Cal's only wins this season have come to Arizona State, Idaho, and North Texas, whereas USC the last couple of weeks has played like Notre Dame. I'm blanking on the other team they played right now because my notes won't load. Either way, the minus 10.5 for me, USC, this feels like a game that they steamroll, get right, don't care if it's on the road. And I feel like they should cover this by two touchdowns easily. Not cover the spread, but win by two touchdowns easily.
I like it.
Yeah, I do too. I think at some point in time, if you have the Heisman winner, you have to have that Heisman moment. So,
and not only that, but if they, I feel like, okay, so I know 10.5 is a lot more than just winning this game. But if they don't win this game and Caleb Williams doesn't have a good game,
yep,
he gets shut down for the year. He's out of the Heisman race, basically, unless he just goes nuclear, which this could be the game where he starts that trend. If he doesn't start to go nuclear and they don't win by a lot, he's gonna be like, all right, I'm done. I'm gonna be a number one overall pick. Not gonna risk my health anymore. We're not going to the college football playoff. I'm done.
Right. Yeah. And again, even with two losses, they still have that slim chance that they find their way into the college football playoff, or at least they have that belief. So this is a must win game, and every game from here on out is a must win game. And I think this is a statement game as well on the road. So they should win this game.
All right. We're going to do something else too. Also this week, we are going to each, before we figure out our units, cause we're going to automatically put at least a unit or two on what we're about to talk. We're each going to give a money line favorite. I told Jarrett and Ethan to bring one to the table of minus 200 to minus 500 to the table. We're going to put them together and we're going to make a parlay.
Both NFL and in college, right?
Correct.
Yes, well, separately. So this, we're going to do one of each, not together.
Oh, okay. My college, yeah, my college one is going to be UNC. They're minus 450. I don't even know who they're playing because I just fucking wrote it
you
down.
You cunt.
Is that yours?
That was mine. That's okay.
Well, that fucking sucks balls.
And Sam Houston just lost.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, I already gave mine. Mine was the Oklahoma game against Kansas, which we had as one of our first picks in terms of spreads. So
that was one of my second picks. So
that was what, Jarrett?
That was my second option. So I don't know if you have Oklahoma a second option. Was? Yeah.
I had one, but I didn't think anyone was going to take UNC.
Sorry.
No, you're fine. My next option, someone start cooking this up in DraftKings or FanDuel or whatever the fuck.
On it already.
Is going to be.
What time is the North Carolina game at? Sorry.
Jared?
North Carolina? I don't know.
Yeah. Jared just saw the name North Carolina and he was like, that's the one.
That's it.
That's fine.
It is at 7:07.
Yeah. 7 o'clock.
Yep. So right now we're at minus 180, Travis, just to let you know.
Minus 180. I figured it'd be around evenish odds.
Yeah. With
but we're taking huge favorites. My last one, I will take. Man, this is not now. You put me on the spot because I didn't think anyone was going to take that. Texas A&M against South Carolina at 11 a.m.
At 11 a.m. You know what? You know what's also another good game that we can add here if we don't like our odds, which I think we will, is the USC at Cal game. They're only like minus 410. But let me go find. Your lovely Texas A&M game. There it is. It is minus 120. So if we added USC in a must-win game, it would be, as I try to scroll and find this fucking game that I just saw. There it is. Plus 202.
For the four?
Oh, no. My fat fucking thumb picked Central Florida. There we go. It's plus 120.
For the four?
Gross.
For the four. Or minus 128 for the three. So it's just like, what do we like better in terms of, do we want to throw four games on there?
Yeah, you take USC out as a game pick and then put them in the parlay. It's plus 120.
Yep.
Not horrible. You're getting four teams that are double-digit favorites that absolutely should win.
Should.
And you throw them in that way.
So if we don't want to take USC on a spread, it's not a bad idea to throw them in a four-teamer.
Yeah, I agree with that. Let's do that. Fucking piss. Okay. Goddamn Houston State.
Yeah, I agree. Sam Houston's State needs to be relegated to back to SCS because they are now going to be 0-8 with a million 3-point, 4-point losses. So if you go to Sam Houston State, then you don't go to real college. Our card right now is Oklahoma -9.5 for two units and UNLV +7.5 for a unit.
I thought we had more in there that we agreed on.
We put this parlay in there. UNC, Oklahoma, Texas A&M, USC at plus 120 for two units.
Absolutely. I was going to say two units.
That's five.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
We've got a lot left. Got the Tulsa under, Louisville, Virginia Tech, Indiana team total, Miami, Ohio under.
Jesus Christ.
I like the Louisville team total there.
You mean Indiana team total?
Indiana. Sorry, you just said Louisville. So Indiana team total. I did like that pick.
I'll say your Colorado State one's probably my least favorite, so you probably throw that out.
I deleted that. I deleted UTSA. So if you like the Indiana team total, we could take that. All right. What do you want on that? Unit or two?
Well, we're only at five, so I feel like you almost have to take that at two if we all wanted to play it.
Yeah.
Two and a half of us want to play it, if we put it that way.
Nah, just two, because we got three more units and a shitload of picks. I'd toss Virginia Tech. I'll still play because it's tomorrow night, but
I'd toss like it out. That pick. I was going to say I like that for a unit, but if we don't all agree on it, that's okay. But
we do a unit just for line movement purposes. That leaves us with two. We've got Tulsa under, Louisville, which I'd say we scratch because I can't trust him as far as I can throw him. Sorry.
The Louisville game, that's fine.
Tulsa under, Miami, Ohio under, Florida team total over.
I like Miami, Ohio, and Florida team total.
For two units?
Well, just a unit apiece on them.
Well, we're at seven, right?
Oh, we're Miami, eight. Ohio, and Florida team total.
Yeah.
Have a little bit bigger card, kind of shrink it a little bit in terms of unit size so we don't get boned.
Yeah.
All right, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We got 7 picks this weekend for college.
See what happens.
Keep it small. Oklahoma -9.5 for two units. Virginia Tech -3 for a unit. Indiana team total over 6.5 for two units. Miami, Ohio, and Ohio under 38.5 for a unit. UNLV +7.5 for a unit. Florida team total over 15.5 for a unit. Then we got a parlay of UNC, OU, Texas A&M, and USC, two units at plus 120.
Nice. I don't hate it.
I do not.
For what this card was this week, or for the slate, I should say, that the college football slate did scare me because I could not come to a decision on a lot of these games, but
I agree. All right, let's roll in NFL then.
Let's do it.
All right, let's kick it off. Who's got something?
I have a Thursday night game.
I also as well.
Let me hear yours because I'm curious.
I got Tampa Bay +8.5 just for the simple fact the fucking Buffalo can't beat anybody outside of the Miami Dolphins by more than a touchdown. Simple as that. Buffalo's wins this year. Okay, they slaughter Washington. They beat Miami big. They struggled against the Giants. They've lost two of the last three. I think the Bucks have a good enough defense to slow them down. I mean, the Bucks have surrendered just 16, 20, 9, 11, and 17 this year. I think they have enough to keep it close. I have no other reasoning besides that.
That's fair. I had the under of 43.5 this game for a reason that you just mentioned, is that I think the Bucks D can slow this Bills offense down, but the Bucks offense is not an offense that's just going to go and put up 20 plus points in this game. The Bills D still is pretty decent overall. And so under 43.5 felt good to me. And also primetime games, Thursday night games have not been just these barn burner scoring games. Short week for both of these teams. So the under of 43.5 felt like an easy pick to me, but I also might be wrong, and it might be 31-28 at the end of this game. So Travis,
well, you put me in a predicament, because I do like Buffalo to win this game. This is a very big bounce back situation. They are at home. Tampa Bay is coming off a loss to fucking Atlanta at home. Terrible. They looked goddamn horrendous. But I know how banged up Buffalo is. 8.5. Primetime games have been stinkers. I think they could realistically both hit. I don't know.
Teaser?
Tease him to do a 6-pointer, 14.5, and under 44.5.
It would be it'd be under 49.5.
I didn't remember what it was. There's a lot of numbers.
Yeah, it was 43.5. So it'd be 49.5 and then plus 14.5.
There you go. That plus 105.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. So,
I didn't think it was going to be plus money. So,
well, 6-point teasers are.
Yeah.
Yeah, but so. It's usually not same gamers, though. Just two layers.
But hey, I might be wrong. Yeah. Either way.
I believe so. I believe I'll double check on this and we'll go into.
But I do like that under, Ethan. I do. Honestly do. I think Buffalo has not looked good. And like Trev said, they're super banged up all around the ball. I think
banged up. Here's the thing, it's a good Bucks D. Like,
Here's the thing. Everyone's banged up right now. I mean, you look across the league, everybody's fucking banged up. It's the NFL. Yeah. And it's just like, who has the reinforcements to overcome that? And Buffalo has shown over the last 2 weeks that they have not. They have not been able to overcome that. So.
Well, that's me and Jared's first two picks in the same game. Travis, what do you got for us?
Sorry, it's minus 110. So
that's fine.
That's still
like it.
Yeah.
But as of right now, actually, we could do minus 120 at 15.5 under 49.5.
Well, it would be 49.5, right? Because it's 43.5.
Not as of right now.
The book,
as of this moment.
Gotcha.
You do a 6.5 point teaser, 15.5 under 49.5.
Because they moved to 9, I saw too.
Official as of when we're recording, so that's what we're going to do. All right. It's 120. Okay, my first pick is on Sunday. It's at noon. It's going to be one of my best plays of the weekend. Ethan already has on his card. We've already talked about it. It's Vikings at Packers at noon. This is a pick 'em.
It's the easiest bet of the weekend.
If you can't know where you're leaning, I'm sorry. Jordan Love. It's Vikings money line, by the way. Jordan Love started the year strong, looked solid. We all thought the Packers were going to be better. Over the last 4 weeks, they shit the bed. He has 7 picks and just 4 touchdowns in those 4 weeks. All the Vikings losses, they've been close. They've been competitive in every game, even though they don't have a great record. You can look at the Packers and say, yes, they have been as well, but you put the whole teams together as a whole, and the Vikings are just so much more complete than the Packers. Everyone and their brothers hurt on the Packers. Offensive line, defensive backs. I'll let Ethan go into the list that he has about who the people are out, because he knows the team better than I, and he has them on the back of his hand probably.
Yeah.
Well, this is one of the stats that I have out there. With qualifying game time, the only quarterbacks who rank below Jordan Love in completion percentage are Brian Hoyer, Dorian Thompson-Robinson, and P.J. Walker.
Yep. Yeah.
All backups.
I hate betting for my team. I hate betting against my team. I just hate like betting on the game in general. But it was so hard to not put this on my card when I saw what the line was, because we've seen what the Packers have done this year. I want every single week to believe that the Packers are going to go in. They're going to put in a good game. They're going to shock everybody. Last week shouldn't have been something that they shocked everybody. They just stunk against one of the worst teams in the AFC. Travis talked about all the injuries, right? Darnell Savage just went on the IR. He's going to miss at least the next 4 weeks. We're without David Bakhtiari for the rest of the year. Elton Jenkins has been banged up. Jair Alexander has been banged up. Aaron Jones has played 1.5 games this year. The list just goes on and on and on. And so injuries aside, this team still hasn't even played like a complete football team. AJ Dillon, who had so much promise going into the season, has not been able to put in a game outside of maybe 2 weeks ago where he was averaging like 5-ish yards a carry or five yards a carry. Before that, hadn't been able to average 3 yards a carry. And Jordan Love just looks these past 4 weeks like a completely different quarterback than what he looked like the first 3 weeks. Couple that with a Vikings team that is slowly putting it together. Kirk Cousins, even without Justin Jefferson, has shown that he can kind of hang. I mean, he's been able to do it for years on years, but we finally saw it in primetime last week against a banged up Packers secondary at that. I think that the Vikings are just going to throw the ball around on the Packers. The Packers aren't going to be able to keep up offensively because of what we've seen over the last few weeks. The fact that this is a pick'em is mind-blowing to me. Give me Vikings money line all day.
I'll just leave it at that. You guys have the same pick on the card. I mean, I don't have this one. The money movement leans the other way, but I looked at it and I stayed away from it because I was like, this money movement doesn't make any sense to me because of how bad the Packers are playing. My one counterpoint to this, Vikings come off a big win against San Francisco at home, prime time, short week, going on the road. That's my one caveat.
It'd be different if they don't need to keep winning, if they were a good team and they could afford to let down loss.
I'm okay with it. Okay.
After that Detroit Lions loss, they're like, okay, we can come back and win this division.
It's an automatic put on our card. You guys both had the fucking pick. Yep. It's a two-unit pick regardless.
Well, and I was going to say, Lambeau in October is a whole lot different than Lambeau in December, too. So, even a road matchup should not scare bettors away from this game.
Mm-hmm. I agree. All right, Jared.
Yep.
All right, my next one, my favorite bet of the week. It is the Colts. Your money line, you minus favorite? 1.5. I don't give a fuck. What? Favorite bet of the week. Potentially, it's like one. I have a 1A. I have a 1A and 1B. This is one of my favorite bets of the week.
Your 1C
at home. Against the Saints. The Saints are playing fucking horrendous football right now. I mean, god-awful football. They have lost 4 of their last 5. Their one win is coming against a Patriots team, which, let's be honest, is not that good. They got a big win against a Buffalo team that probably overlooked them. But outside of that, they lost to the Packers. They scored 9 against the Bucks. They scored 13 against the Texans and then lost to the Jaguars at home. On a big Thursday night game. Yes, I know they have 10 days of rest. I honestly think the Colts are playing better football with Gardner Minshew at quarterback than they were with Anthony Richardson at quarterback. I think Gardner Minshew's a dog. Josh Downs is coming to his own. Side note, I know we all don't like to bet on Josh Downs, but Josh Downs is like doubling his targets with Gardner Minshew over Anthony Richardson.
He just burned us that 1 week. He's been great every week since.
Money movement makes sense. 62% of the bets are on the Saints. 65% of the money are on the Colts. You want to play it safe, take a money line. It's 5 money lines minus 106. They're at home. I don't see a way where they lose this game.
I mean, I can find a way. I have them winning.
Not a chance.
Stuff.
I think Chris Olave just got arrested. So
yeah, he did.
I don't know if he's playing, but
he won't.
Apparently
he
is. Hey. Oh, apparently there's no change in standing with the team, is what they said today. So
I mean, I wouldn't expect anything less.
I play for the Saints, dog. And
that was such a great response. And no, I like the pick too, because
you're driving Derek a Lamborghini Carr, and I saw your license.
Yeah. Like Derek Carr is proving that he's the same quarterback that he was with the Raiders. And if anything, he's definitely worse. But I mean, if anything, he's bringing all the drama and criminal behavior with him from Las Vegas to New Orleans, because now Chris Olave is getting in trouble. It seems like there's a common denominator here.
This dude is throwing the ball away whenever he's got receivers streaking down the field. He's just throwing it in the fourth row. So I don't hate that pick. My next one is a late game. I only have two more picks, by the way. It is a 325 game, Chiefs at Broncos. Chiefs are 5-2 against the spread, and I think we've taken them both times that they've lost against the spread and bet on them against the times that they hit. But don't worry, I'm not looking at the spread here. I usually hate doing this, hate including this in their cards, but I'm taking a player prop here. Taking player prop. We have got to ride on the man on fire against a team who has been awful at defending against tight ends. That's Travis Kelce. The Broncos have allowed 486 yards to tight ends this season, averaging 69 yards per game. Nice. Kelce's yardage is at 72.5 this game. That's so low. He's already gone for 124 against them a few weeks ago. So I'm taking Travis Kelce over 72.5 all day.
No, I love that pick. And to add to that pick, they were my money line play for our money line pick later in the
incoming season. Travis Kelce 71 yard game.
And you know what?
If it happens, Tay-Tay's there.
But.
And a touchdown. Is it on the road?
It is, but I don't care.
Nope. She's only going to be at home games, apparently. Home games and New York games is whatever.
Okay. So. Well, they're horrible at defending against tight ends. The only reason their average is brought down so low is because they played the Raiders, who allowed 20 yards, and they hadn't even introduced Michael Mayer then, and the Dolphins, who literally don't even have a tight end that can catch the ball. So, who had 15 yards. Outside of that, they've allowed in the 80s twice and over 100 twice.
I don't hate it at all either. I mean, I let
Luke Musgrave with a Jordan Love who can't even fucking throw the ball put up yards against them. So,
yeah. All right, E, what you got?
I have two more. I have a noon game. It is the Jags at the Steelers. I was going to bet against the Jags last week. You guys talked me out of it. I ended up actually betting Jags money line. It hit. They're only 2.5-point favorites. I know it's on the road. I know it's at the Steelers, but the Steelers game against the Rams to me was a fluke win. The Jags have looked very impressive. -2.5 is not a very big spread. I really like the Jags -2.5 here. I think they get it done.
I have a better bet for you in this game. I don't want to interject.
No, that's really all I had. I didn't have a ton of notes on this game other than the fact that I just really like the Jags in this game. Steelers aren't a very good football team.
Jags -1.5 first half. Jags are 6-1 against the spread first half this year. Best team in the NFL against the spread in the first half. Steelers are 2-4. They start slow. They can't get the ball rolling. All the Jags got to do is go into halftime up a field goal. That was my pick in this game.
I mean, because
I looked at 2.5 too, but that's just me. To me, the 2.5 means they win. Like, do we think that they're going to go?
What's Jags' money line first half, just in case they go in like 10-10?
You know, that's fair. And it can't be much. It might maybe like -125.
-130.
I like that much better. Protect us against
throwing two units on that.
Yeah.
Because if they're going to win, they're going to go in up, or they're going to go in at least tied at halftime, if not up. So,
yeah.
All right. Jer, you got one more? Or is that one?
I have two more.
Jeez.
I like the NFL this week. I had to find some games that would give me some money.
Well, those don't exist this year for us.
Continue. No, they don't. Me again? I didn't want to interject Ethan.
You're up.
I don't know if I like to pick a lot. I don't know if I like to pick a lot now that I've been reading about the injuries. Travis can maybe kind of chime in here. I had Miami -9.5. Yep. I didn't like it because once I found that Tyreek might not play, I don't like it.
I don't like it in general. It's a big spread for a big rivalry game. We already beat them once. I want to see how they bounce back. I know, but I want to see how we bounce back against that loss.
Well, especially how banged up we are. We're missing, potentially going to be missing three starting offensive linemen, our best player on offense, maybe Javon Holland. It's tough. And once I found out Tyreek was going to be out, I was like, no, I don't like this at all.
Okay. So I'll toss that out. You guys each have one pick left. I've got one pick left. Be surprised if you guys don't have something in this game. Bengals at Niners.
I wanted to, but I didn't.
Okay. Sunday at 325. Niners are -5.5. They are at home. Decent point favorites. Coming off two stinker losses, two games where they've scored 17 points each. I don't want to hear from anybody, oh, we didn't have Deebo Samuel. He wasn't healthy. That's why we only scored 17 points. I don't care. Inserting him into that offense in either of those games wouldn't have helped a whole lot. Truth be told, Brock Purdy, most overrated quarterback in the last decade. Don't care. Hated it last year. I hated the hype. We're finally seeing it come to fruition. He's throwing the ball 15 yards away from his receivers. It's getting picked off. He's making stupid throws late game that are getting picked off. Not only that, the 49ers have traveled a lot the past 3 weeks. They've gone from San Francisco to Cleveland, back to San Fran, to Minnesota, back to San Fran. It's a lot of flight time if you think about it. Bengals coming off a bye, can take the nice, easy 13 days of rest, head straight over to the Bay. They're coming off two desperately needed wins, need to keep the train rolling. I could see them winning this game, but I'm going to take the Bengals plus 5.
I like a money line. I was going to say it. I like a money line.
But the fact that they're +5.5, that's an easy take.
Yeah. San Fran is a team that's, you look at a team that's banged up and banged up in a bad way. I know you said that Deebo Samuel being inserted in the offense doesn't make a difference. I think it does, and I don't think he's going to play again this week. We're missing Trent Williams. I don't think he's going to play this week. Christian McCaffrey, and you could tell when he ran to the left on Monday night, he couldn't fucking get anywhere. He got tackled behind the line of scrimmage like 5 times that I saw, which is unheard of for him. Yeah, I mean, this is a Bengals. Here's the thing. It's a San Francisco team that's looking at their division that says, we could probably afford a loss, which they probably could. And a Bengals team looking at their division like, we can't afford a loss. Baltimore just put up a fucking 30, almost 40 burger on Detroit. We have to stay up with them. I like Bengals +5.5, and I'm going to bet the money line too.
Yeah, I don't think that's a bad bet at all. I think that, like you said, the injuries definitely have a factor, but Brock Purdy is a system quarterback, and I don't think he will ever be anything more than a system quarterback. And I think he's starting to show kind of the fact that he was Mr. Irrelevant, but there is a reason that he didn't get picked until the 7th round, and it wasn't because he was just a diamond in the rough. He's had a very good start to his NFL career. I do not see that panning out like a Tom Brady-esque future for him. I think he's getting exposed a little bit. I think he fits into Kyle Shanahan's system like any other fucking quarterback that you throw in that system would. We've seen it with Jimmy Garoppolo. We've seen it in small doses with people like Trey Lance as well. But regardless, Brock Purdy is not just this awesome quarterback who came out of nowhere and is going to be the next coming of Tom Brady, like some people were crowning him so early on. And I think they're starting to kind of see the true colors of what that offense can be when their quarterback struggles a little bit.
All right. We all have it. Let's hear your last two picks, because we don't have a whole lot of units to go around at this rate.
Me?
I only had one pick left, other than my money line pick, which we already talked about, which was the Chiefs. I had one more game, which I didn't love, but I do like it. It is the Texans at the Panthers. The Texans are -3. The Panthers can't seem to do anything right. One thing that they definitely don't do right, though, is stop the run. And if this is, if there's one point for the Texans to get their run game right, it is this game. And if they don't do it, then we can definitely see some problems for them in their future. But Texans -3, I think if they can establish the run game, they can definitely establish the pass with CJ Stroud against this defense. I don't think the Panthers are going to get a whole lot moving against the Texans. I think they win by a field goal here.
I could actually see the Panthers getting their first win here.
So I had one of my employees talk to me today because we were talking about a survivor pool. He's like, oh, I'd take the Texans. I was like, I don't disagree with that pick, but I would not be surprised if the Panthers win a game.
Yeah, because they're not gonna win this. I'm sorry.
I want to bet Texans, but I'm afraid of the Panthers winning a game, this game in particular, at home.
Yeah, yeah.
That's we're in at Houston, home, no problem.
Off the bye. It's tough. It's tough for me. I know they're both coming off a bye, but I think
I'll tell you what I'm gonna take in this game for the rest of the season until it doesn't hit. I say this, and now it's not going to hit, but it has a million times over the last 5 weeks. Adam Thielen's receptions. My God, it's the only person they can throw to. It's usually like 5.5, 6.5. Dude gets like 10-plus catches a game.
Yeah. Yeah. It's insane.
So there you go. My last one is in the Monday night game, which is a fucking stinker this week, by the way. It's Vegas at the Lions, not taking the spread. I'm taking a first half number again. I started leaning the first half numbers, looking at teams that were good in the first. I had to find an advantage any way I could this week. It's Lions -4.5 first half. They're at home. Lions are 5-2.
Yeah, the Lions looked great in the first half last week.
They're the second best team in the league in the first half. Vegas is the second worst team. Lions are 5-2 against the spread first half. Vegas is 2-5 on the road. Big bounce back spot for the Lions. I think they're going to come out fucking firing on all cylinders. I'm not sure they'll cover the entire spread because I think it's like 7.5, 8, whatever, some weird number.
-4.5 first half?
-4.5 first half Lions. It's also -105, too.
Would they have been the best team in the first half against the spread had they not been down 35-0 at halftime last week?
They would have been tied with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Yes, they would have been.
All right, so that's it. Let me hear your guys' team money line.
Chiefs.
For the parlay.
Lions.
I had the Bills.
Oh, my God.
The Bills are not starting 4-4. I'm sorry.
They're not.
No fucking chance.
There's no way.
There's no way. If the Bills start 4-4, I will be happy that I lose this bet.
Okay, that's fine. I'm hedging it with fucking Bucks money line then if we're doing this. I don't give a fuck.
Well, that's useless. You're doing no good to yourself. You can hedge it with your fucking teaser of +15.5 in the under. But there is no shot that the Bills lose this game. I'm sorry. And if they do, you can clip this and put it wherever the hell you want. Chiefs, Lions, Bills, money line parlay. What is it?
Bart Scott. Can't wait.
Chiefs, Lions, Bills. I will give you that in like 2 seconds.
If you want, I thought one of you was going to take a different pick. I can substitute that and put in the Chargers.
Chiefs, Lions, and the Bills. Why can't I find?
I hate that. I also hate that because it's a fucking, it's a full weekend.
It's yours is Thursday, on Monday.
I said Thursday, Sunday, Monday. It's a full weekend.
It's a +100.
Even money.
Gross.
Instead of the Bills, you want me to see what the Chargers would be?
Sure.
It would be worse. Never mind. They're -450. The Bills are -430. So.
All right. Well, we might not end up throwing that in. But here's what we've got total. We've got Vikings money line at 2 units. Travis Kelce over 72.5, which I thought we liked all together at 2 units. Ethan's saying Jags first half money line at -130 for 2 units. Uh-huh. those were like official. Those what we liked. So that's seven. We only have three left. We've got the Colts. I got
six, right?
Seven and six. Goddamn, that's terrible.
This dumb fuck was down here counting, and he had seven. So we got four left. We've got the Thursday night teaser, Colts money line, Bengals plus 5.5, which I think we all liked, actually.
I think we get those 2 units on that.
Yeah, 2 units on Bengals plus 5.5.
Okay, so that leaves us with
two. All right. Two. All right. Units. Are we doing the money line parlay or no?
So, no.
No. Okay.
Not at those odds. That leaves us with Lions minus 4.5 first half, the Thursday night teaser, and Colts money line.
I'd rather do Colts money line than any of those, if I'm being honest with you.
I'd rather do Lions than Colts.
I say we toss out the teaser and do a unit on both then.
Works for me.
Sure thing. All right, we'll play that separately then.
Don't be surprised if I put a fucking hundo on the Colts on Sunday, guys, at the book.
I will be surprised, but and you'll be mad, and you're probably going to cuss and say obscene things. So our NFL slate is
that's a given.
The Vikings money line for 2, Colts money line for 1, Kelce over 72.5 for 2, Jags money line first half for 2, Bengals plus 5.5 for 2, and Lions minus 4.5 first half for 1. That's it.
Here's to hoping
we have a big slate.
Yeah, I was saying here's to hoping that we have better weeks than we've had in weeks past.
We've shrunk our card. It didn't work. We're expanding our card back 13 plays. I think last week we had like 8 or 9. Right. So
yeah,
we're getting a little bit bigger of a card. Hopefully that works. But that's it.
All right. Well, let's talk to you guys next week. See how it goes. I'll bet more than that in the book, but let's do it.
Peace.
Peace.